Good afternoon again. Can you guys believe Christmas is like 1 week away? Did you realize that? I woke up, well, technically it hit me yesterday as I was finishing up my notes. I'm like, dude, Christmas is next week. It's just like that. End of 2017, starting 2018 real soon. Now, the most important question is, has everyone finished buying their gifts? Yeah. I'm done. I bought my gifts last year. No, I'm just kidding. You reuse the gifts from last year and you reuse them then this year. That's how it works. Just kidding. I bought you something. Don't worry. But yes, so who here actually enjoys shopping for gifts for other people? Like buying gifts for other people? No? You all like receiving gifts? I like receiving too. But I do enjoy giving gifts. Because it's like, okay, I'm going to get something for someone and It's like meaningful, sentimental. I have to think like, okay, what is this person like? If I get them this, would they enjoy it? Would they not like it? Or, you know, you cop out and buy a gift card, right? It's either one or the other. You cop out and buy a gift card, or you really think about, will this person enjoy this gift? Will they appreciate it, right? Because, okay, to be honest, who likes receiving gift cards as a gift? I actually do. If it's like Amazon, I appreciate it. But sometimes if it's like a very sentimental gift, like, oh, they were listening when I said, man, my underwear's got a hole in the back and I need a new one. And they give me a pair of underwear. Like, if I receive that, like, I know they were listening to me and they were paying attention to me, right? There's more meaning. There's an extra special feeling. Y'all feel me on that? Yeah. Now I'm going to ask you to think back. Think back to, like, Christmases of many ages ago. What is, like, one gift that you still so remember in your mind? Is there like one gift that like totally sticks out to anyone? You can shout it out. Pokemon, like the game or the, yeah, dude. I remember I got my first Game Boy, my Pokemon game. That was off the hook. Anything else? Anyone have any gift that sticks out in your mind? No? Everyone's Christmas sucks? Okay. That's okay. I remember. I'll tell you mine. It was like my seventh, I was 7 years old. It was Christmas. So I came down in the morning, and there's a box like this tall. Mind you, when you're seven, you're maybe like this tall. So to see a box like your height, you're just totally stoked. Like, yes, I want to open it. I just can't wait. And then, who remembers Christmas morning when your parents go like, wait, don't open the gifts. We got to take pictures first. Does anyone's parents do that? Because my parents did that all the time. Like, no, you can't open the gift yet. You have to wait until we take pictures, until we record you opening and smiling. And then I'm 25 years later here, and I'm like, where are those videos we recorded? Do you ever think of, like, where are the pictures that we took 15 years ago that I couldn't open my gift because I had to wait to take the pictures? No, you guys never seen those videos from, like, 15 years ago? Me neither. But I remember, I was seven, I walked down, I'm like, whoa. And my dad likes to get up a little later, especially on Christmas Day. So I was awake like at maybe 8, and he wasn't up to like 12. So, you know, 4 hours at 7 years old, that's like an eternity. I'm sure you can relate. And I finally got it, and I opened it. And then what it was like a robot that was like this tall, and it could shoot missiles, and it could like walk, make noises. And I was, oh, you know, 7 years old, Power Rangers was my thing. I love like action figures, transforming things. So to me, like, that was like the coolest gift ever. Cool, right? I know you guys are totally stoked with me. And I remember later when I broke it, it was a very sad day. It was just very sad. But when I got it, I remember it was like, wow, I was so ecstatic. I was so happy. And I'm sharing this because, you know, Christmas is next week. And it's a time, you know, when we get gifts, when we receive things, when we give things. And what we're going to talk about today, the passage is about when Jesus died. And it has such meaning because when he died, he was our greatest gift. Wouldn't you agree? His death is what brought us salvation, is what brought us the ability to be here today. And that is like the greatest gift we can ever receive. It's kind of a little, not contrary, but Christmas is usually celebrated for Jesus' birth, right? But we can't really untie the fact that his death is as equally important, and I'll buy it. You know, we're going to talk about his birth next week and everything, but this week we're going to look at the passages. Click, thank you. We're going to look at the passages of when Jesus died and the significance and the power and the purpose behind why he died. Was there a clicker for me? Oh, there is. I'm sorry. Thank you. We're going to look at the purpose and significance of these things. Before we read it, why don't you all join me in a quick word of prayer. Father, we just thank you so much for the price you paid all those years ago to be the greatest gift for us, to die and to suffer for us so that we may live eternally and not face the consequences of sin and death. Father, we thank you so much for this gift. We are so grateful to be here today. Will you speak your word to us? May you open up our spirit and our ears to hear you today. We thank you. In your name we pray, amen. Tell your neighbor, you have the greatest gift ever coming your way. Well, it already came, but tell your neighbor, you got the greatest gift ever. So if you guys were here last week, you remember that we talked, Co-David talked about born identity. And if you guessed, this week was Born Supremacy. It's like the Jason Bourne series. Yeah? Y'all know it? Are y'all too young for that? I'm not too sure. Because it was kind of a movie in the 90s. But this week is Born Supremacy, and it's Born Supremacy, living with a supreme purpose. Our scripture will be Matthew 15, 33 to 39. Let's take a read at it. And when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders hearing said, "Behold, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." Deep. Truly, this man is the Son of God. Okay, come with me as I paint a picture here. Who here has ever, like, just blatantly, like, lost in the train of thought, stared at the ceiling? Do you guys do thinking in the shower? Like, you know, you're sitting there and the water is just, like, pouring on you, and you're just kind of thinking about who knows what, nothingness maybe? Yeah, you guys can relate? I know I do that a lot. Sometimes I'm just like, she's like, "Why are you in the shower so long?" You just water pouring on you, wasting water. But I like this because it's like you think. Like, you just think about stuff, who knows what. And what came across my mind recently, it was actually from what my wife was sharing to me. She shares to me a lot. If you guys haven't realized, if you guys aren't married, your wife will like to talk to you about everything in her day. Like, she'll talk about, "Oh, I woke up this time, and I went to work, and then this happened. I ate this for lunch. I went to the restroom at this time," and all this kind of stuff. She'll talk to you about all these things. You'll soon learn if you aren't there yet, or if you have a girlfriend. But she will talk to you about every little detail. And then she was talking to me about her coworkers. She'll talk to me about her coworkers and their conversations too. So it's like I'm actually working with her. I know her coworkers and all the fun and jazz. But she was talking to me about one of her coworkers, and it was her coworker was sharing to her. She was like, "You know, I just don't know where I'm going. I have no goals, like no ambitions. It's, I go to work, then I go home, I sleep, rinse and repeat. You know, I go to work, I go home, I rest, I sleep. Every now and then I go out." But she's like, "I don't have no goals. What's the point? What's the purpose of all of this? Is it just for me to go to work? To work, to make money, come home, spend it, save it, do the same thing over and over again." And it's crazy if you think about it, to think, okay, what am I doing here? What's my purpose? And we are so blessed that we have a purpose. You know, the purpose that was given to us is the same purpose that, you know, we believe in our faith, is to live for the Father's will, to do his work here. That we have a purpose. Now that's your purpose, you know it, right? Everyone knows their purpose here, more or less. Now think about, if you didn't have that purpose, what would you be doing? What would your life look like? If you didn't know your purpose, you didn't know why you were here on earth, you didn't know why you were sitting here in these pews, like, what's the purpose? Is it just to work and make money? Is it to study school, become great at what you do, and die a glorious death sitting on top of millions of dollars? What's your purpose? Think about that for a second. If I didn't have my faith, if I didn't know who Jesus was, what is my purpose? Could you wrap your mind around that? Like, man, I'm thinking, if I didn't have my faith, this is the shower thoughts that happened to me. It's like, if I didn't have my faith, what am I here for? What am I doing? What's my purpose? Let that sink in for a moment. That's heavy to me. If I didn't have Jesus, if I didn't have my faith, what's my purpose? Like, why am I living? And there's a lot of people that are like that. I realize, like, they don't know purpose. Their idea of purpose is whatever someone told them. Like, their parents may have told them, oh, you're going to be this. Oh, you're going to do that. They follow societal conventions. Oh, you're going to get married, have a dog, have two babies, a white picket fence, a 401k, and then you retire. That's their purpose. You think about it. What's the purpose? Like, wow, we are so great. We are so blessed to be able to have this purpose. Now, what I want to focus on in this passage here is the fact that Jesus had a purpose. He had a supreme purpose, and he knew what that purpose was from the very beginning. This passage is to me very deep, because this is at the end of the line. This is when Jesus was on the cross. This is when he was showing his humanity at its finest point. I highlighted a couple verses here that I wanted to kind of go around. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is such a powerful line to me, because it shows that Jesus was as far away from God as it could be. He was as far as away from his disciples. Everyone's forsaken him. He's all alone on the cross. And he's like, gee, God, why am I here? But in midst of the pain, the suffering, and he has the ability to do something about it, right? He could, you know, get off that cross like that. But he knew what his purpose was. The supreme purpose that he has, he knew what it was, and he stuck to it. Amidst the pain, the adversity, the toughness, the mocking. In the next line, it says, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm like, wow, that's kind of, well, the whole thing is messed up that he's being crucified. Well, that's like super messed up. The guy's already on the cross. He's being hung up there. He's in pain. And you're still making fun of him? Like, shoot, y'all crazy. It's so sad if you think about it, that they're making fun of it. Another translation actually comes from the fact that when he's saying the Aramaic, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, you guys didn't know I could speak Aramaic, did you? That's very cool. But from there, that it's in his weakness of the physicality, the Eloi, Eloi, they thought he was kind of referring to Elijah. Elijah, why have you forsaken me? He's actually addressing it to God, but it sounds like they're saying Elijah. That's why they're saying Elijah is mocking him in that tone. But this passage also, what's so great about this passage to me is that in the downest point of the passage, when Jesus was crucified, when he was killed, at the end, we also see someone who, not even his disciple, not even someone who knows him, it's the guy who's crucifying him, was hanging him, he acknowledges and he says, truly, this man was the Son of God. That's, to me, that's like, wow. The guy who I just hung on the cross, and he's acknowledging that guy was the Son of God. And he was a Roman too, and he acknowledged it, truly, that man was the Son of God. That's like, wow, so deep. So we're really looking and focusing, like, Christ had a supreme purpose here. He knew what he was doing. He didn't falter in the last minute. He questioned it in the sense, why have you forsaken me? He asked God, but he still walked through and he fulfilled his purpose. He didn't fall out. He didn't back down. He stuck to his guns amidst the mocking, amidst the troubles, amidst the problems he was facing. Now, this is the passage we're going to be focusing on. And if you guys haven't read ahead, don't worry. Jesus does not die. He dies, but he doesn't stay dead. He comes back to life. So, spoiler alert, if you keep going, he will rise again. Just an FYI. If you never read past this point in the Bible, I wanted to let you know that don't feel sad. Jesus will come back alive, all right? We're gonna move on to the next slide here. So, it says, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 40, verse 8. Like, it's such a good passage, because I don't know about you, but I'm not always excited to do God's will. To be honest, are you guys like always like, yes, we're going to do God's will today? God's will involves me walking out of my comfort zone, talking to people down the street, interacting with people I don't normally want to interact with. That's God's will sometimes. Other times, it's stepping out of your comfort zone, putting yourself in maybe a financial risk, putting yourself out of your safety net, out of your safety bubble. Oh, God is calling me to move to New York and be a witness there. Ooh, but I'm comfortable here. Does that happen sometimes? That there's many times that God's will takes you out of your comfort zone. And this verse is saying, I delight to do your will. That's Jesus. He delights to do his Father's will. And that's just, wow. And John 4:34 also says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Even in his fleeting moments, Christ still followed that. And Christ still followed. He knew his purpose. He knew why he was here and what he was doing. So you're thinking now, Josh, that's great, but I'm not Jesus. I'm not going to end up on the cross anytime soon. Probably. Let's hope for the best that none of us, you know, ever end up on a cross one way or the other. Maybe not physically, but, you know, the metaphorical sense that we take up our cross daily. That happens, I believe, every day, right? We every day pick up our metaphorical cross, our burdens, our life, and have to live out our purpose one way or the other. So what are some things that we look at? It says the temptation of the world. What is that? Temptation of the world. Does anyone here ever feel that you have to prove something to someone else? I got a bigger bank account. I got a nicer car. I graduated from honors of, you guys are all Berkeley kids, I shouldn't say Berkeley. I graduated from MIT or Stanford with highest honors. You know, you have something you want to prove. You're trying to measure yourself against someone else in that way. I don't know about you, I try to do that too sometimes. Like, oh, I'm married already. I'm something. You know, like there's always something you're trying to prove one way or the other. I have a hot wife. You know, I don't know, whatever your take is on it, you know, it's like, it's true though, I do have a hot wife, so that's okay. But you're doing something. There's something you're trying to prove of you being better than someone else. I don't know about you, but I see that. I sometimes do that too. However, does the Bible ever actually say that your purpose is to be better than someone else? I didn't read that. If you read that, tell me the scripture for that, please. But I never read that. I've read things of you sharpen your brother to grow in the Lord. Iron sharpens iron as man sharpens man. I've heard that. I've heard walk together and do life together. I've heard that too in the Bible. I haven't heard anything about trying to outprove someone or outshine someone. How we measure success in terms of society and the world. One of my favorite examples, not favorite examples, but something I hope everyone here can relate to is growing up, did your parents ever be like, guys, or like, son, daughter, I want you to be a doctor. I want you to be an engineer. I want you to be a CEO of a company. Have your parents ever said that to you? Be honest, don't lie. Y'all are like Asian almost. So I guarantee you, your parents have one way or the other have put these dreams and these goals of success in your mind. Right? I want you to be a dentist. Why? To look at people's teeth every day and fix them for like thousands of dollars, right? The parents have these goals of success, and nothing's wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. My parents did that to me too, and there's nothing wrong with that. What I see though sometimes, what I'm thinking about this now is, they have this idea of success in the sense of what I do on this earth, in the sense of my career, where my goals are, what I define as a good life. You were a doctor. That's going to be a great life for you. Yes, don't get me wrong. Being a doctor is great. But there's not enough precedence on the fact of, son, I want you to walk so firmly in the... My parents do say this to me, don't get me wrong. But sometimes I feel when you're growing up, there's a greater pressure on the success of this world versus the success of the kingdom. Can you agree with me that? Don't get me wrong, my parents are great. They love the Lord and they encourage me. But sometimes I feel there is a greater pressure to have success of this world versus success of the kingdom. Like my purpose is sometimes tied to the world versus tied to the purpose of the kingdom. Can you relate? Josh, you didn't do well if you didn't go to school, graduate, get a good job, and buy a house and own three cars and etc. Sometimes they don't go, Josh, if you so love the Lord, they say this, don't get me wrong, but Josh, if you so love the Lord that that is the only thing you care about, that your life revolves solely on serving the Lord and doing his will, then we'd call that a success. You know, you hear that, but sometimes it's not emphasized enough, right? You focus so much more on the physical, on the purpose of my career, on the purpose of what I can provide versus the purpose of Josh, lead your family well. Josh, be the head of the households and guide your family in the ways of the Lord that none of them will turn from you. My grandma always says that, though, so I can't say that. My grandma will just, I love my grandma. She says that all the time. But sometimes you miss those parts. You focus a little more on your career, and that becomes your purpose. Your career should not define your purpose here on the earth. It is simply a tool to enable you to do your real purpose. I'm going to say that again. Your career should not define your purpose here on this earth. It is simply a tool to do your real purpose here on earth. I have friends who sometimes all they do is chase their career. All they do is live for my next salary bonus, my next raise, my next job jump to get promoted. That's great. Don't get me wrong. That's great. Sometimes you need to do that. And those things can come from the God, but sometimes we focus way too much on that. And that becomes what our purpose is about. What our purpose is focused. My purpose here, maybe for you college students, my purpose is to graduate with all honors and score that killer internship and make it big. Yes, that is good. That is a good dream. But don't let that be the main point of your purpose. Let that be a subplot of your purpose here. Let that drive the purpose of go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let that be the purpose of doing his work, doing the Father's work of spreading his love, his word, his message, his gospel, shining your light upon them. Don't let that be the main point of that. So, what can we take away from Jesus' resolve and his purpose? This was kind of hard for me because I'm not Jesus, so it's kind of hard for me to place my mind where he was and what he was thinking. Imagine being on the cross. You know you're doing the Father's will. You know you're doing the good thing, but everyone has abandoned you. Everyone has left you. You're struggling to breathe, and yet in the fleeting moments, you have all the power in the world to change the situation. Elijah can come down and take him off and all that. Angels will come, but yet Christ still stuck to his purpose. For me, one of the things is focus on the mission at hand in the sense that Christ knew where he was going from the very beginning. The day he was on this earth till the last day he was here, he knew what he was here to do. And he never let anything distract him from that. I find myself distracted quite a bit. Back in my single days, like you would come home and I'd be like, what am I going to do today? I can do whatever I want, right? But now I can't do whatever I want. I have to ask sometimes, like, so, Dorothy, can I do this? Okay, cool. But your day's not your day anymore when you're married, basically, is what I'm saying. You have to respect the wishes of your partner. You have to think about them. But many times when I was, you know, single, sometimes I come home, like, I know my purpose, you know, is to grow and work in the Lord. Sometimes it just, your purpose, you lose sight of your purpose from distractions of your friends, distractions of family, of work, of the world, of chasing things that really have no meaning in the end. Hopefully you guys can relate to that because I hope I'm not the only one. But for sure, I noticed that I lose track of my purpose sometimes. My purpose now, one of them is at least to love and cherish and to uphold our household, to lead it as Christ leads his church. Like, that is what my purpose now. So being married is great in the sense that I know one of those things is my purpose, that it is to respect, to love her, and cherish her as Christ loved his church. And that is something I strive to do every day. And that helps me kind of focus my mind on that purpose. My other purpose is to grow in the kingdom and to speak truth, to speak life, to be an example through my actions in Christ. And sometimes I'll be frank, at work, get too flustered with work, and you lose sight of an opportunity I had to speak into someone's life or to speak a truth and to encourage them. I lose sight. I don't have the time sometimes to have those conversations. But if you focus on the mission at hand continually from the beginning and knowing when you get to the point to make the decision, it's easier to make. If you go into the battle without making the decision, you kind of already lose. If you know what your ideology, your characteristic is, like, I'm going to hold to truth, I'm going to hold to God's will and follow that from the beginning, when choices come that will have you test those lines, if you aren't already focused and you already know what you're going to do, it's so much easier to snap and break. Can you agree? For example, one of my favorite things was college. I think I might have shared partially about this, but my favorite thing was always, I want to be an upright and honest student. I don't want to have the character of, Josh, can I copy your homework? Or for me, can I copy your homework? I try not to do that in college. That was like years ago. But I try not to do that. I try to always be like, I'm a whole to doing my own work and being like that. But sometimes when the time comes, my focus isn't quite there, and I might have copied other people's homework or something of that nature. I don't know about you. I will not admit to that. But I know many times if I'm not firm in that in the beginning, it'll waver along the way. And so stick focused and know what you're going to do ahead of time. Otherwise, it won't be the best decision. Another thing is, you know, things of this world will fade. It's easy to get caught up in our worldly things, our possessions. How much have we saved? How much have we stocked up? How much do we plan to go forward? What's the next big investment? I know my coworkers, we always like to talk about, oh, like this stock just went up, blah, 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 blah. Or did you invest in the cryptocurrency? Like, I know I did. Did yours go up by like 10 times? I know mine did. So you have these kind of conversations at work. And sometimes you get so caught up and you invest in things in this world when in the end of the day, it doesn't matter almost. You don't get me wrong. You want to plan. You want to be financially. You want to do your best to take care of what God has given you. But sometimes I get so focused on these things, I lose sight of what I should be talking about. What I should be focusing on is their souls, is their purpose, what their purpose in this world is. And I get sidetracked in that. And the last thing there is, do the things of the Father with a supreme purpose. Knowing when you walk out these doors, knowing when you go home, when you go to your friends, if you already know the purpose you have there and what you're going to do, it becomes so much easier. When Christ was on the cross, I'm sure he had many chances to go back. Even before in the garden, he was asking, right? Father, Father, can you please take this from me? Can you? He was asking him this. And he easily could have just, no, I'm good, I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to go through with this. But he stuck it out till the very end. He died the most agonizing, most humiliating death for a crime he's not even, you know, guilty of, per se. But he stuck it out because he knew his purpose. I think for us in our lives, there'll be times when we get conflicted in the sense of, is this right for me to do this? Even though it's so much more work, so much more trouble, so much more out of comfort, yet I know this is the path Christ will want me to walk. I know when I reach that path sometimes, I will say I'm not always following the right one, but I try my best to think ahead of time, like, I am here for a reason. What I am here for is to follow God's will. It's to do His work, not my own will, not my own purpose, but it's God's purpose. And when I can fortify that in my mind and know it, it becomes so much easier to walk that path, so much easier to follow my purpose that God has laid before me. All I want to ask the musicians as I'm going to close in the next few minutes to come forward. Do you guys remember my story I talked about a little earlier about how my wife likes to share her day with me and the story I shared about her coworkers? I want to come back a little bit to that a little and let's really think about that. Let's really think about that. What it's like if we don't have a purpose. If we don't know Christ, we don't know who He is, we don't know what He did for us, we don't have that in our lives, what would our life look like? What am I living for? What's my day-to-day like? What is the point of me doing something today if I have no goal, no set purpose that comes from above? What is that like? Can you imagine that? It's hard for me a little bit because I grew up in a Christian family, so I kind of always, like, they were always told me, oh yeah, we're going to do God's will, we're going to follow you. But imagine if you didn't know those things, like, what would your life look like? Is your purpose what your parents said it to be? Is your purpose what your society said it to be? Like, I'm trying to wrap my head around that, and it breaks me. Like, people don't know what their purpose is. That's heavy. That's heavy. Especially in this season of Christmas, we want to acknowledge Christ's birth and also the death that he paid to give us life. And his purpose at the end was so that we may have life. You know, I want to just impart to you today as we're going to close that don't lose sight of the purpose Christ has given you. And that purpose is to follow the Father's will, which is to go. Go and make disciples. Go and reach out to your coworkers. Go and speak truth and life in the season of neglect, of the politically correct happy holidays, instead of, you know why we have holidays? It's because of Christmas. Be a light. Be sure in your purpose as you speak the truth of God. That knowing that when you speak truth, he will honor that. Don't fall to the left. Don't fall to the right. Hold true and hold fast to where Christ is taking you. Just think. Praise the Lord for giving us purpose. Father, if we didn't know you, where would we be? If we didn't know your word, who you were, what you did for us, where would we be? What would our life be like? I want to encourage you today to think of those around you who don't know what their purpose in life is, who don't know what they're living for day to day, who don't know what's the point of tomorrow. That's who you want to share to. That's who you want to speak to. That's who you want to pour love, life, and Jesus into. So they know their purpose. They know why they're here. They have something to live for. Father, I just want to pray over your people. I want to speak your spirit over them to churn in their hearts, to churn in their hearts of those around them who do not know you yet. Let them be sensitive. Let them be drawn to them. Let them be ministers into their life by their actions, by their words, by any tools necessary, Father. Let us never forget the purpose we have, the purpose that you also know, Jesus. Your supreme purpose was to die and give us life. Let us not forget our purpose to serve the Father's will today, Father.